What happens if you don't tell stories? If you leave out fairy tales and family stories and spontaneous stories, your child will probably grow up to be a very fine, rational young man living in a desolate world with no magic and no mystery and just one bland thing after another. Story adds magic. It adds mystery.
So Deep, you had an interview with Diane Niemann. Tell me about it. How was it?
Diane is an absolute pro when it comes to storytelling. And she is my personal favorite. I've been listening to her stories, God knows what, 3-4 years now. She runs this amazing storytelling show, which is almost like a gala event every month. During good times, it was in a concert hall, in a theater, where people would show up and amateurs and professionals would go on the stage and tell their personal true stories. And I would attend those events and I was like, wow, this really made me feel connected to Berlin as it had never before. And over time, Diane and I became friends. And I said, I want to get her on board and ask her, you know, what's her view on storytelling for kids? So I had an amazing time chatting with her on how to tell great stories with kids. She's done that for years. She's also run trainings with parents on how to be just fantastic storytellers.
So Olive was born and was in the NICU for a month and a half. That's like a huge part of us and our story, that she started out in intensive care. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, there was this really cool organization called Kate's Cart. And it was a memorial to another little girl who had a heart condition and didn't make it, but she really loved being read to in the hospital. And so her family started this nonprofit. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they would deliver books throughout the pediatric and neonatal units. Yeah. I've always known that reading is so important to kids and for kids and storytelling. But when you are in the hospital like that, like there are no windows, it's very dark. You have this brand new baby that you cannot hold, you cannot feed, you're not a mother. Like it feels like you can't really take care of your child. And when you're there for, you know, hours and hours and hours and hours on end, like you want to do something, right? And you can only tell them they're cute and that you love them like so many times. And then you just start talking about anything. And so it was so nice to have these books because I was reading these books over and over and over to Olive.
And she was a few days old.
Few days to a few weeks. And that's what I did because that's all I could do. So bedtime stories and storytelling for us has been from the beginning a really big part of our lives. And I'm so grateful for Kate's Cart because it really started us on that path that it had already become habit in even those first few days of her life. So yeah, I'm really, really excited to hear Diane's interview and hear more about storytelling with your kids. And yeah, I'm so excited to hear what she has to say today.
Morning, Diane. Good to see you.
Great to be here.
Yeah, amidst all this craziness, it's been what, few months since we actually met in person?
That was 2019 in June, so it's been quite a while.
It's been long. It's been very long. But I'm so glad that you're here. I was thinking about how I know you. It's been, I think, 3 or 4 years when I first found you online. I was trying to do the workshop for my sales team on how to tell great customer stories, and I was looking for somebody who's done something like this before, and I found you. You run this incredible show called The Bear, and you had me on stage a couple of times, which I absolutely loved. And up till recently, I think the last time when we spoke, actually, was the workshops that you did again for our company, but with a different topic, storytelling for parents. And that was a phenomenal success. A lot of parents appreciated it. And I thought I'll have you back on this podcast. So tell us about yourself.
So I am a speaker coach. I help people who are fearful to get on stage and share their ideas. And now parents who are fearful to share or maybe not convinced to share stories with their children. Working with adults, working in the business world, I noticed that stories are key for persuading, inspiring, motivating people to change their behavior to buy a product or service. And I noticed that when people tell stories, it works, but people don't know how to tell stories, even though I think it's a very natural, it's in our DNA to tell stories. So I started a show very naively here in Berlin, an open stage where anyone can come on stage and have 5 minutes of fame and glory to share a true personal tale based on the topic of the evening. And we started in 2015. It's 5 years later. We've had 500 storytellers on stage. Thousands of people have been there. And it's been a life changer. It gives me purpose, I feel like, helping people to share their stories.
I'm sure for the people who present their stories, it's also a game changer. I found myself being a better storyteller. But more than that, I've found myself a little better listener. This bonding that comes in with listening to incredible stories is just phenomenal. So I've definitely benefited from your work, Diane. Thanks for that. And today, the topic that we want to talk about a little bit is something even dearer to my heart, about how to tell great stories to kids. And I find that while raising a five-year-old son all through these years, stories have been an incredible part of our daily exchanges. It's always a love and hate relationship with stories. Very often my son is saying, I want to hear the same story again and again for 1,000 times. And on the other times, he's asking for a new story where I just kind of run out of ideas. So I want to talk a little bit about this topic. Hopefully the other parents who are also curious about this. And I would love to know, why tell stories?
Let's turn the question around. What happens if you don't tell stories? If you leave out fairy tales and family stories and spontaneous stories, your child, Janos, will probably grow up to be a very fine, rational young man living in a desolate world with no magic and no mystery and just one bland thing after another. Story adds magic. It adds mystery. But that's being very poetic. The basics, though, are storytelling is a way to bond with your child. It's the first foundation of your communication with each other. We were talking about this earlier. If Janos was to, you're telling him stories now, so let's say he's 13 years old and changing schools and having a bullying problem at school. Is he going to go to the dad who told him stories? They have this communication with each other, listening and sharing deep feelings, things that mean something to you. Or is he going to go to the parent who's never told stories? So you're creating already at a young age a wonderful place of communication where you are vulnerable and you let down your guard with your child and share things that really mean something to you. Also, it's great for resilience. We'll be talking about this later in this talk about family stories. So knowing about, you know, where your mom and dad met is a great way to have a child know that they belong something bigger than themselves. They belong to this community with eccentric uncles, crazy aunts, heroic figures, that the family has ups and downs and they belong to this, and that it gives them a sense of resilience. Like, I can do this too. If I fall, if my house burns down like it happened in 1850, I can also pick up and succeed. We had bonding, we had resilience, communication skills, problem solving. So good stories have conflicts where the characters, from princesses to a little boy who's 5 years old, or bears who lose their way in the woods, they have conflicts and they figure it out. And this helps a child to dress rehearse for life. And they have a safe place in storytelling to explore what's it like when life doesn't go well, when people don't have your best interest at heart. Albert Einstein, I'm sure you want an intelligent child. He said, if you want your child to grow up intelligent, tell fairy tales. If you want your child to grow up more intelligent, tell more fairy tales.
That's absolutely, I could do a bit more of. If I reflect on these experiences that we've had, some of them are strong ones, have been told through stories. And it's amazing, and it surprises me when he brings up these little topics that we discussed a few weeks later or months later, and he remembers that. And that tweaks his perception about the world quite a bit. He tends to retain those things a little bit better if communicated through stories. Very often I struggle with this idea that, you know, hey, I'm not a good storyteller. How do I tell a story that engages him, that sparks an interest and curiosity? How can I add all that flavor? I'm not a good storyteller, I feel.
How can you be a good storyteller? First, believe this fact that to be human, is to tell stories. It's in your DNA. You can tell stories. Start small. Don't set the standard up high to be perfect. Perfect storytellers are boring. If you're telling a story to your child and you get stuck, children are so creative. So if you forget what the giant's favorite breakfast was, just ask your child. They'll let you know it was pizza margarita. And also, it's important to be present when you're telling a story. If you're thinking about it, let me get this story in quick so I can get back to my computer, get back to work, home officing right now. It's not going to work, and the child feels that. It's really important to be present. The Work and Family Institute did a survey, and I find this very revealing. They asked 1,000 children, if you could have a wish about your parents, what would it be? And they asked the parents, what do you predict the children are going to say? So parents said, of course, children are going to ask to have more time with us. Number one wish of children was to have parents who are less tired and less stressed. And a stressed and tired parent is not a good storyteller. It's true. You have to be motivated. You have to be present and be there. That's how you can get in touch and tap into your spontaneous self that is there.
I can definitely relate to that. The whole day of work and towards the end, you're just looking for that last 20, 30 minutes to yourself, just enjoying that glass of wine and easing off the day. That's when you got to come and come up with the story. It's the hardest thing in the world. But yeah, I would love to know, you talked about being present and being available. I think that's something that sticks with me as well. Very often I hear stories from my son and I'm just zoning out and I'm just saying, And I wish I could be a bit more present. I just could listen to that with full attention and not look at my phone. Is there something that you found that can be done better or works well for people when listening to these stories, and how can they train that?
I think being motivated and committed that I am going to listen to my child, I'm going to be present, and start in small, and just have that alternative self looking at you, listening to your child or not listening, and just start to become aware of it if you're listening or not. And stories can, especially intuitive storytelling, it can happen in the moment. So let's say, for example, I have a problem that my child keeps forgetting his brand new jacket that I spent 50 euros for. So instead of nagging him and every day saying, okay, you forgot, don't forget Janos, your jacket at kindergarten. Instead, I take the situation, the reality, and I go into an imaginative world about a bear. This bear goes down to the lake and he wants to go swimming. So he zips off his fur and he goes into the lake and then he goes back home. And his mom and dad said, Janos, where's your fur? And he's like, oh, I forgot it at the lake. And he was so embarrassed. And so then winter came and it got very cold. So he went down to the lake to go find his fur. But a bunch of squirrels and rabbits and other animals from the forest were using it as a tent. When you want to remind your child not to forget the jacket, to change a behavior or problem, it's much nicer to refer to the fur, the bear story.
Absolutely, yeah. Now that you told that story, I think I'm not going to forget his jacket. His mother's biggest complaint is I forget his stuff while packing his stuff for the school. If nothing else, I'm the one benefiting from the story that you just said. One of the aha moments came very recently when I was talking to a language expert, and that person said that the kids start learning and comprehending at the age of when they're 6 months or even sooner. So the fact that we're not introducing language early on and we're pretending to talk in a baby language for a long time impedes the growth in linguistic ability. So I was wondering, what's the right age to tell stories essentially to kids?
From the very beginning, you start telling stories. Obviously, your child is going to have a different understanding as he grows older and matures.
Yeah.
But even the baby, to let them feel the story, let them feel the itsy bitsy spider crawling up their arm and going around their mouth and touching their nose, so that story becomes something physical that they can feel. They can feel the tickling. And story is also peekaboo. They're the first stories. And as your child grows older, just start simple and young. So maybe to a three-year-old, the story would be, so at 3 years old, perhaps your child is in kindergarten starting to meet their first friends. So friendship is a theme. So you take that theme, what's right now prevalent, and it's a story of a boy, and I take the name from his best friend, Frederick, at kindergarten, and Frederick meets a bear one day, and they decide they're going to spend the day together, and they go over a bridge, they climb up a mountain, then they end up in a big field with high grass, and they're under the sun looking up at the sky, and then Frederick notices, oh, the sun starts to go down. So then they leave the meadow, they go down the mountain, back over the bridge, and they say goodbye to each other and go home. Mm. That's a story for a three-year-old. It's important to have happy endings for young children. Mm. And once they reach the age of six, you can start introducing more darker themes, more struggles, and evil dragons and witches with poison apples.
Interesting. I've been experimenting with a lot of stories from his own life. So very often we do a mix of stories from characters outside, but also him being as a center of that story play. And he seems to enjoy that quite often. And very often I also use the story arc. Maybe we should talk about that. That's been a game changer for me. That one of the things that I learned from you was anytime you're telling a story, if you follow a certain principles that make story an effective one. There's a cliffhanger moment, there's obviously a protagonist and it goes through struggle and challenges, and then there's some struggles, and through the face of it, he has his determination to go through it, and there's always a cliffhanger moment. What's the formula for kids storytelling? Is this something that you've discovered which works better for kids? Can parents become a little bit better if they improve that aspect of the storytelling?
That was a great description, what you just gave. Another one, maybe to simplify it, if that seems overwhelming for parents who are just starting to tell children stories, is to think the beginning is just to arouse them, to get their attention. So I'm in a situation, I'm in traffic, I have two kids in the back of the car, and the one child keeps kicking the other. I can't stop the car, I'm really stuck. I asked the children, do you know the story about the naughty squirrel? And how he got that name, the naughty squirrel? So I aroused their interest. And then I say the naughty squirrel would go outside, and for no reason at all, he would kick the other squirrels and rabbits and the animals in the forest, and no one wanted to play with him. But actually, he had a very nice name that his mother gave him, but he didn't know what it was. So I create attention, curiosity. I say the squirrel has a name, but I don't tell you the name, I withdraw. And to find out the name, this squirrel's going to go through a journey. So the mother squirrel gives him a bag of nuts and says, to find out your real name, I think you need to go in the forest and look. And so she gave him a bag of nuts. He goes through the forest, and no one wants to play with him. He's all alone. He goes deeper into the forest. He trips over tree roots and just starts to cry and sit on a tree stump and feel really horrible about himself. When a little gnome comes out and says, hello, Scamper. Because I bet you didn't know your name was Scamper. He goes, how do you know my name's Scamper? And this gnome gives him the advice to take this bag of nuts and go to each animal that he wants to play with and leave a nut in front of the door. And don't say it's from you, but they'll see that your footsteps from your feet. And the animals noticed this, that naughty foot was giving them nuts, and they decided to invite him to their soccer or football game, and he turned out to be a big success. So we had the arouse, get their attention, withdraw, not let them know what his real name is, and then the moment of fulfillment where we find out, oh, his name is Scamper, but he only uses it with his mom. And everyone calls him Naughty Foot. Now he is big, bad football player in the forest. So we've got those three sections, arouse, withdraw, fulfill.
Got it. I'm going to try that next time when I build a story with Janusz, but I really like that arousal part. That kind of sets it apart. And I feel that we might be into a tense situation, and bringing that arousal in would probably just get us into that story mode. I'm going to try that. Thanks for that. What kind of stories do you find yourself telling in your family? How's that story culture? I imagine you being such a big storyteller, it's always stories going on every day in your lives on a dinner table. Tell me a little bit about that.
So stories are what binds us together. And just to give a little background about why family stories bind us, back in U.S. Atlanta, Georgia, there was a psychologist. She works with children with learning disabilities. And she said to her husband, who was also a psychologist, a professor at the university, she said, I noticed that the children who know about their family, know family stories, do better in facing challenging than other children. He thought that's a quite interesting conclusion. Let's see if it works. So they actually tested this out and had children, they came up with the do you know test with 20 mm-hmm. questions that children would only know if their parents told them these stories. And mm-hmm. they noticed that the children who did well in this test, knowing family stories, had a much higher level of self-esteem, a feeling mm-hmm. of control of their lives, a feeling of resilience and self-identity, which makes sense. And I'm going to throw one of these questions at you, Deep, to see how well you're doing in this test. Do you know how your parents met? Yes or no?
Yeah, I know. It's very standard and simple in Indian, you know, community, arranged marriage. So parents introduced each other.
So, you know how they came up with your name? Was there a story with that?
I think I have a little idea. Not too much, no.
It's interesting, right? So mom and dad never told you that one. How yeah. about your grandparents? Are there any stories there that you were told?
Now that you ask, actually, there's a very interesting story that sticks with me. And it's, I think, actually, you're right. If I think about it, it did leave a very strong impression on me. And this is a story about, not about how they met. It's about how almost none of this would have happened, how we would have not come together as a family. And that's a story of incredible times, India and Pakistan partition times. So there's a lot of war and killings and massacre and turbulent times. And my grandfather's away. So they've recently married and they moved to a small refugee community in India from Pakistan. And my grandfather's gone to serve not in the war zone, but some ministers who are very close in that zone. So he's been gone for a while, longer than it's been expected. And my grandmother has been waiting for him. And of course, as the Indian tradition is, the family stay together. So, you know, her in-laws are together. So they're staying in this small refugee colony. And it's just been too long. They've been waiting for him. And people thought that he probably would not come back because he died or something. And my grandfather's parents would not take responsibility of his wife. So they wanted her to leave. And she was on a rickshaw on the way out of this, you can imagine a tight refugee colony, tons of people, busy streets, and she's on this rickshaw being driven out of the house, and she has to go somewhere out of the colony. And just that moment, my grandfather comes from that same alley on the other side after months of waiting, and he stops her. And I can't even imagine what would have happened. Thanks for asking. That's a beautiful story that's left an impression on me for a long time.
Hopefully you'll tell that story to Janusz.
I will as soon as he understands that. Maybe soon he'll understand that.
And then there's versions too, how mom and dad met. There's a simple version for a five-year-old. Yeah. Then there's the one who understands a little bit more, your teenage daughter. Yeah, you can add then the details.
Interesting. I never thought of that. And I think, yeah, there's tons of stories that come about. One of the things that we've been experimenting with, like I told before, is storybooks. Whenever Janusz goes through a nice experience, actually not so nice experience as well, any deep experience, could be a trip, could be a little holiday together, stay over at friends, or his birthday, we would take those pictures. And this is what I learned from some of the coaches that I work with. We take pictures of those events. We do that anyway on our phones. And we care to print them out. And we paste them on these just A4 size white sheet of paper. And as we stick these pictures on the alternate page, we write a description about that particular moment, what he might have been thinking, and we build it out. So we use descriptive words, adverbs, and things, expressions that he might have used at that point in time, even before when he knew those words. And we stick them together in the book. So imagine this book with photos and words inside in alternate pages. And as he flips that and we read those descriptions, he starts to connect with that experience again and understand words that we didn't imagine he would understand. So that's been working out really well for us. Not quite storytelling in traditional sense of fairy tales, but yeah, it's been something that's been great.
You're developing his language skills. You're developing mm-hmm. his sense of reflection, which there was an experiment that they did in the company where they had two control groups. One group did their regular work, went home at 5. The other group did their work. And at 4:30, they stopped and reflected on their day, wrote down in their journals, which group had the better performance?
The one with the journal.
Already learning at five to reflect on things that happened to him, good things, bad things, to find words to describe his feelings, not just happy, sad. There's such a range of words that we as adults don't even know. So Janusz is really way off. He's many steps ahead of all of us already.
Your expression about 30-year-old child coming back to father for stories, that leaves a lot of burden on me for now. But yeah, thanks for that encouragement. What about fairy tales? You mentioned something earlier when we were chatting, fairy tales and intelligence. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So the idea of fairy tales are, for one, is that it gives a child a chance to dress rehearse for life. I'm reading a really interesting book. It's based on evolution. It's from Brian Bold. I have it here. The Origin of Story. We can put it in the chat box.
Yeah.
Because think of this idea of survival of the fittest. Why do we tell stories then? Why are we wasting precious resources to tell stories? And as a scientist, he's explored that there's a reason we survive because we tell stories. This helps us prepare. So it helps prepare children in a safe space how to deal with struggle, people who don't have their best at heart, how to do problem solving, how to think independently. And also when you're telling fairy tales and not just showing the picture and reading the story, that's also interesting, really for telling stories to your child. But if you're reading the story, it also works. The difference is, though, if you're orally telling a story, there's more eye contact, and you're describing the scene, you're painting it with your imagination, and the child has to use their imagination to imagine the Wicked Witch, what she really looks like. And by developing that skill, that's going to help them later in life with their own intelligence of problem solving, of independent thinking, under different perspectives, develops their empathy.
And no wonder people say that it's more exciting to read a book before the film comes out, because the film really destroys the imagination. And one of the things that we invested in was buying these little story cubes. It's called Rory Story Cubes. And I found this as our go-to resource whenever we're feeling bored or when we go on a little trip. We pack this in our bag. And these cubes are just this little prompts for us to connect them and create some stories based on these little images that show up on these cubes. I'll throw a link for that as well. And it's been working out really well for us in terms of driving Janusz to imagine characters and people and events and take away time from the screen of looking at some video passively. So I don't know if you have something else that you want to recommend.
Storytelling is great for distracting children about something. If you're stuck in traffic or anything that you need to distract them from, like the electronics. We have older children in our house now. We have some 18, 19, 20-year-olds. We have become the house of the neighborhood where the kids want to come on New Year's Eve. Why? Nice. Not the whole night, but the beginning of the night. Because we take out these. So this is one thing I have. It's called a chat pack. And it has questions in here. And we just pull them out. Everyone pulls out a question. And what's the question here? In your own not so humble opinion, what is your most likable quality? Mm-hmm. And we just had a wonderful, really deep, meaningful conversation about things that are important to them. And obviously, it's important for them to share that with us and to share about the moment, the story that they'll never forget of 2020. There's many, I'm sure, this year. We'll probably have to add some more chairs to the table. People of all ages love to tell stories. It's such a great way to connect us all. So I can recommend this chat pack. Also, people know that I love stories. When people come to visit us, we had a visitor from Denmark. She brought this. It's called Snap Stories. It's in four different languages. And they're also a series of cards. And it says, tell a story about a sporting event. Tell a story about, what does this one say? We were lost. Just triggers to get you telling stories.
What age groups of people find these exciting? Who joins you on these dinner tables playing these cards or story cubes?
So teenagers. You just have to speak the language of your audience. This is public speaking. So Janusz would be welcome at our table, and we'd make a question for him. What would be a good question for Janusz? So he's at our New Year's Eve dinner, and we say, Janusz, what was your happiest day this year? Would that be a good question for him?
Yeah. What made you happy today? Or what would you do on a football field with your best player? He likes Pele a lot, so I don't know why. How would you pass the ball to Pele? So I'm trying to teach him how to be a team player when he's playing on the field. And he used these amazing players in his team as an imagination for him to play that, put that game together. So yeah, something like that.
And that's what about being present and being aware of your child's world, his best friends, his favorite ice cream, the purple shoes that he wears on rainy days, and to include those in your story when you're doing intuitive storytelling with him. It's great.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's another thing I want to share on that part is that we've got a nice ritual that we've set up on dining table. We sit down and talk about rose thorn bud. Have you heard about that? We started this ritual that I learned from, I was looking at some podcasts, I can't remember, it was Neil Pasricha or somebody, I can't remember, but I'll put that link in there. And we talk about essentially, what was your rose today? What stood out, which felt good, smelled good? And because we want to count our blessings twice, so we do that twice. So what was your another rose? And at that point in time, he would talk about something that touched him, something that he felt really good about. Very often he says, everything was a rose today. And I like it, but sometimes I try to tell him, hey, come on, give me some concrete thing. And it's a fun game. And then you talk about thorn. What is not so good today? What hurt you? What made you feel bad? What, was not good at a feeling level? And then he reflects on that. And I reflect on that at the same time. So it's a good exercise for me. And the last thing we talk about, what was your bud? Something that you did, which was small and which would grow up into a big thing tomorrow. Something that you learned. Something that you did nice to someone that would turn out to be something good in future. So we talk about these little things and it's a nice ritual. So instead of just saying, hey, tell me how was your day? How happy do you feel? We use rose thorn bud to summarize and talk about our lives, daily lives.
Do you also share your rose thorn bud with him?
I wasn't, but I started doing that. And I think that has become my way of journaling verbally my day as well. And it's incredibly powerful when I do it to the level of 5-year-olds. That's a beautiful question, yeah.
Being willing to show also that Papa also makes mistakes and has bad days and let down your guard in front of your child.
Exactly. Diane, so this has been amazing. Connections, bonding, emotional resilience, vulnerability, presence. So many things that work out with stories.
And you wonder why we're not telling more of them. And what you teach with your child is in the workplace, need I say, the bridge. If you can be spontaneous, present, and listen, and take the situation and create a story about it. It's the same at a workplace.
Yeah. Incredible. Diane, I think our time is up. Thank you so much for that. I really enjoy this conversation, as I always do. So thanks for influencing a lot of stuff that I do and adding more stories in our lives. You've been a great inspiration. And I'm sure people would love to know your incredible work. So where can people follow you?
So we'll put it in the chat box and there's a website where you can go and they'll ask you if you'd like to join our mailing list and we'll send you an invitation. If you're here in Berlin, you can join us and come on stage if you dare to do the bear. And also I can give you my business website where I've put a story arc, which you were talking about this, the different steps, how to create a story with tension and resolve. So I'll put that in the chat box. And I love to hear you tell stories on stage. So come back to the bear very soon.
I'd love to be there. I've had an incredible time and you'll see me there soon as well. Diane, thank you so much and have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the very first episode of Rerouting. Sign up for our newsletter at reroutingpod.com and get new episodes delivered to your inbox every week. And if you enjoyed today's episode, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review us. Thanks for tuning in. Until next week.
Three, 2, 1.
Did my best. Hey guys, we're so glad. No, scratch that, doing over. It's okay. Can we just clap again?
Yeah. 3, 2, 1.